Welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. This is Greg Sankey, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio. Thanks for joining me. The year 2025. We are now in this year, 2025, and this is the first week of January, and I think the second or third, I'm not sure what today is. It's Friday. So whatever that might be, I guess it'd be the third. But I'm glad you're here with me today. I'm looking forward to this year as I did last year. I always look forward to a new year, new beginning, new start, new things to try to conquer, and new changes. Everybody likes to have a change in their life, and we make those new year resolutions and try them out to see if they'll stick for a few weeks or so and try our best. We always do. And we don't like to fail at it, or we don't like to quit. But sometimes we realize, well, right now is not the time to embark on that resolution. And so we might put it off to the side, put it on the back burner, and wait till next year. However, there are some things in our life that we can always improve on. And really, in most general cases, we want to improve in them. And I'm not going to go through the weight loss programs or anything like that. It's not an infomercial. I certainly wouldn't do that. But there is one thing that we can never, ever get enough of. And we'll probably never say that I have conquered this in my life. We'll find a place in 2 Chronicles. I've used this passage for a number of years while we've been in the ministry and talking about the new year, and I would use this many times the first Sunday. However, I'm not using it this year, and but I want to give this to you as a challenge, and it'll be a three-part challenge. And so you pray with me as we go through this. But one of the greatest things that we can improve in, and when we improve in it, we'll certainly have a great delight in it, and see some wonderful results, which really motivates us to go for more, like with anything else. We see good results, we are encouraged to continue in it. Well, this particular subject for the Christian is a very powerful subject. And this is something that I believe each one of us should strive for and really practice in our life. Names are... they mean everything. A name does. A name gives a title or a position, like Mr. or Mrs. You'll find Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so, or even if you go into the royalty, king, prince, queen, and it gives a name. But it gives them it's a position as well. Names are really a description of lineage, of who you belong to. Growing up, and even my children, well, these are my kids, or they belong to so-and-so. Oh, you must be Tom's son. And yes, I am. And, I know his dad and so on, and they can kind of describe a little bit about our family because of our name. So names have there's a relation with that. With that name, and you can probably go through your family tree and be intrigued by what you might find. But they give a lineage. They also, names are important because they give a recognition. If you would say the name of such and such, well, I know who they are. They are, a sports commentator, or they are so and so, or they own this business or that business. Or they're a preacher. And so you know the name by their position, or you can recognize them by who they are and then begin to describe them. So names do mean a lot. They speak of who you are. They speak of who you belong to, and your name speaks of who you represent. So my name and your name tells others a great deal about us. And when your name is mentioned, it comes up in a conversation between some others. When your name is mentioned, what comes to the mind of those around you? What do they think about you? What can they describe? What are some good and positive aspects in your description? When we read in Second Chronicles, we find, and really through First Chronicles, I don't know, I remember when I began to read my Bible, and I come up to First Chronicles and Second Chronicles, and it was just a desert of dryness in this mass of names that are recited that, you know, you can't even pronounce these lineages of individuals that are so difficult to try to decipher. You need to pull out the Captain Crunch decoder ring. But when you come to Second Chronicles in chapter number 4, there seems to be an oasis that comes across this plain of desert lineages that kind of springs up as a flower in a dry land. These two verses in Second Chronicles chapter number 4 and verse number 9 and 10 are very powerful verses. Let me read this to you, if you don't mind. I've got my computer up on the screen over here. But let me read this to you in First Chronicles chapter, I said second before, but it's First Chronicles chapter number 4, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the name of called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And the Bible says this, "And God granted him that which he requested." Now, it starts off where it says here, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren." However, this did not take place until afterwards. It's almost like a preface of the ending. It's almost like what took place, or now this is who he is. He's more honorable than his brethren. But what happened to get there? How did he get there? Well, the description is that he was certainly born in sorrow. His name became Jabez, and the word Jabez because he was born in sorrow. It's amazing that two verses in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, verses 9 and 10, two verses are dedicated to this individual by the name of Jabez. Out of 31,102 verses in the Bible, two of those are given to Jabez. I asked the question towards our congregation and in other churches, if God would grant you two verses in the Bible to write about you, what would he say? How would he describe you in two verses that it would pass from generation to generation and all would read this? Well, Jabez had the wonderful opportunity given by God to write about him in two verses. And what he writes about, I think each one of us in this coming year can practice diligently that we might see God do some great things in our life. There is no one that I know of that would say, "You know, Lord, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I don't want you to bless me. I don't want you to bring things into my life that will enhance my joy." There's no one that's going to say that. We all want blessings. We all desire answered prayers. We all desire to get a hold of God and touch the hem of his garment and come to the throne of grace in the time of need. We all want those things. There's not one person that's alive, both saved and unsaved, that do not want God's blessing. However, the blessings come on those that are saved. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from heaven, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variables of turning, neither shadow of turning. And so when you talk about being blessed and talking about wanting God's hand in your life, we're talking about prayer. If you want God's hand and God's blessing, well, we have to ask for it. You have not because you ask not. So when we look at this, I want us to look at a couple things, and there's going to be three keys that I want to share with you in a minute. But Jabez, of course, it means grief or sorrow. That's his name. I don't know about you, but if I could change my name from grief and sorrow to something else, I probably would. However, God kept his name, but gave him a different description. Honor. He was more honorable than his brethren. No longer was he a grievous thorn in the side of his mother or a pest to his brothers. He became more honorable than his brethren. this, the name that come about, and we could speculate, and God gives us liberty to speculate, it could have been she had a hard labor. Who knows? It could have been that it was very laborious and a long labor, and it brought great grief to her, very difficult labor, and so she named him Jabez. We don't know, but we could speculate. It could be that this birth was through a rough relationship. This birth was an unwanted birth. This child was not expected. Or it could have been that it was he was conceived through something that we would rather not discuss. However, she gave birth to this young little boy, this baby boy, and named him Jabez. It could have been a number of things that we could speculate on and give our own, you know, ideas about. But nonetheless, he was born in sorrow. He was named Sorrow. So when we read this, the Bible says Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. The span of this growth, the span of his growth, we learn through these verses, and really the value of God and God's blessing we see in these two verses. Though we don't find anything new about his name. Again, God did not change his name like he did Jacob to Israel or Abram to Abraham. Yet he continued with sorrow, but he became this man of honor. How did he do it? And why would this be so important for you and me today? There's three keys that are given for us, and I think that we may want to implement these in our life and become this new description. You may not change your name, okay, but we can change our description. What people think and speak of and describe you as now can be completely different in the year 2025. And so this is what my challenge is to you, that the description that we have will either be enhanced or changed. And you would know that once we get into this little challenge. But let me give you these three keys that we find in these two verses. And certainly these are not the only keys. This is not the only thing that could be preached out of this. So there would be many messages that we can learn. But number one, we find that Jabez, he invoked this prayer. I'm going to explain that to you in just a minute. But he invoked this prayer. Then he depended on it. There was a great dependency in his prayer. And we find then he received it. Now, when we pray, we are coming to God in a way that we would invoke his intention, or we would come in a place or a situation that we would beg, or we would beseech the Lord, that we would seek out God's face, seek out an answer, seek out that which we are looking for, and we need that. Sometimes we need that tangible proof of God's attention. Well, here Jabez, he invoked it. He begged. The Bible says Jabez called. He called on God. And we find many times several verses in the Bible that talk about calling out to God. Let me read you a couple if you don't mind. Psalm 3, verse 4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I don't know how many times you have, but I have many, many times cried to the Lord, literally crying to the Lord, needing to hear from him, wanting to grab a hold of his attention. The Bible says in Psalm verse number 1 of chapter 40, David says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He heard my cry. You'll find in Psalm chapter 120, verse 1, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. How many times do we cry to the Lord? We cry to the Lord more times when we're in distress, in great want, and in need, than we cry unto the Lord and just praise him for who he is, or cry unto the Lord with thanksgiving. When we cry and beg and seek him, we are looking for answers. We're looking for direction. We are looking for something that would bring a fulfillment in our life. The Bible says in Psalm 142, verse number 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I made my request. I made my prayer. I shared with him, basically, my heart. You know, when you and I pray to the Lord, it's about coming to him, crying unto him, calling unto him, and sharing our heart with him. I think of what Paul said, that we ought to be careful for nothing, in the book of Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry, God's in control. God's always been in control. He's the God of now, he's the God of yesterday, and he's the God of tomorrow. He is always presently in control, no matter what day you are in. No matter what situation you're in, God is always in control. And so we come to him and make our request. We make our supplication. I think one of the greatest examples of an energetic prayer came from the Lord Jesus Christ. He became our wonderful example of calling on to God. And he says in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 39, O my Father, if it be possible. Now, his prayer was a prayer of, here is my will, but Lord, not my will be done, thou be done. I want your will to be done in my life. And many times we have to come to that conclusion and really come to that very possibility. Lord, I'm going to bring you my request. I'm going to share with you my heart. I'm going to share with you my needs and really what I am looking for as far as an answer. However, Lord, if you see fit, because you know what's best for me and for my life and maybe for the life of my family or the life of the church, you know what's best. Allow me or give me the understanding to follow your lead in this. However, God always allows us to come to him and share with him our heart. Jabez, he came to the Lord. He begged to the Lord. And the Bible says when he called, it's a man that is desiring to be blessed. Maybe his life, because of his name, was a life that, you know, he just didn't seem to be getting anywhere. He had more ridicule than anything else. And so he comes to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm ready for a change. I'm ready to see my life change. I'm ready to see some steps forward this year. I want to see some progression between me and you and our relationship that we have. And so he comes to the Lord and he wants to be blessed. It's a very intensive action. It's a fervent prayer. It's a prayer of great energy. And Jabez had a drive. He had an invoking spirit that could not be moved from the place of prayer. It was a type of prayer that constantly rolled around in his heart and rolled around in his mind. Seemingly, he's unable to get away from it. He needed God to answer his prayer. You ever have one of those prayers? You ever have those days where seemingly that you can't run from it? You can't change your prayer at that time. You have sleepless nights. You're asking God. You're calling on God seemingly constantly. Those prayers seemingly bridle your days, and you cannot get away from it because it harnesses every minute of your life for that day until you get that answer from God. That's an energizing prayer. That's a fervent prayer. When we come to God seeking his face, Jabez wanted that. Jabez knew, in order for me to see my prayers fulfilled, in order for me to grab a hold of God, I need to have an energizing, I need to have a fervent, I need to have a drive in this prayer, and I am going to hold on until he blesses me. Isn't that what Jacob said when he was wrestling with the Lord? And the Lord said, let me go. Let me go. The day is starting to come. The sun is about to rise. And Jacob said, you know, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to release my grip, he said, unless you bless me. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we just got to grab a hold of the throne of grace and not let go and beg and cry for God's blessing, for God's answer, for God's provision, for God's wisdom, whatever you are coming to the Lord about. You see, Jabez, he invoked it. He invoked the conversation between him and God, and he come to God seeking. Here you'll find that Jesus did the very same thing in the garden. When he walked out into the garden, I don't think he started praying when he got into the garden, when he told his disciples to stay here, and I'm going to go yonder, and I'm going to pray. I want you to stay here. I want you to pray with me. Stay awake now, fellas. I believe as they were walking, and even while he was talking with the disciples, maybe out on their way to the garden, I already believe that he was talking with the Father. He was already talking with God. And then when he got out there, the Bible says that he, being in great agony, he prayed more earnestly. As his sweat were as of great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I believe before he put his knees down to the ground and he leaned upon the rock or wherever he was at, I believe he was already praying. And then when he got there, the agony and the energizing fervency of his prayer really took off and he began to commune with God. You see, Jabez, he was concentrating on a blessing. And it was a continual effort that he wanted to see God answer. I have no doubt that Jabez got on his face before the Lord. He bowed down before the Lord and as low as he could, show great sign of humility. I think that's one of the greatest keys when you and I pray, is that we fall on our face in great humility before a God of all creation and cry out and say, God, here am I. I am nobody, but I'm coming to you because you're my Father. You see, when we think about this year, there's going to be many prayers that we need to answer. There's going to be many times we're going to come to the Lord. May we begin to be described as a prayer warrior or one that can really get a hold of God in prayer. How do you do it? Well, the first key is you invoke it. You start the conversation. You and I get alone with God and let's see what God can do this year. This is Greg Sankey, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. Thanks for joining me today and for Devotions from Calvary. Stop by and visit with us here at 1045 Monroe Concord Road here in Troy, Ohio. We'd love to have you come by and visit with us. You can go to our live stream on our Facebook and also on our YouTube, and you can see all the archive videos there and for our services. If you have any questions, please email me at pastor@calvarytroy.com. And I will answer you as quickly as I can. But thanks for joining me today and join our media family. And hope to see you here at the church sometime, or I'll see you online. Lord bless you.